Welcome back for the third hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Father's Day is coming up. I got my first Father's Day card just today. A little early. I think my parents are traveling. They didn't want that day to pass by. They're pretty much equal opportunity card givers. Although I don't really expect a big Father's Day thing every year. I just don't. Mother's Day, on the other hand, you go to church on Mother's Day, you can't find a seat. Flowers are handed out. Sometimes even the sermon is tilted toward Mother's Day. Father's Day, not so much. Not so much. Now, I'm not complaining. On the other hand, you look at evangelical literature out there, the average Christian bookstore, you'll find videotapes. You'll find audio tapes. You'll find books. You'll find seminars. You'll find three-ring binders. You will find mobiles. You will find buttons. You will find bumper stickers. You will find all sorts of things pertaining to fatherhood. It is a big topic. But what does Scripture say fatherhood is, beyond just a biological relationship with one's offspring? We'll talk about that during this last hour of Issues Etc. Pastor David Shaddy joins us. He's pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Indianapolis. Our phone number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor Shaddy, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's great to be on again.
All right. If you peruse the popular Christian literature about fatherhood, and it goes beyond literature, of course, it goes into all sorts of multimedia things aimed at helping fathers be better Christian fathers. A lot of good stuff in there, but what's missing?
I'd have to say the main thing that's missing is the proper motivation and really taking a good long look at the proper model for fatherhood, which is God Himself. And not in a law sense, not in the sense that God looks at us and says, do this, do this, do this, do this, but in the sense that He is our loving Father. That by His love for us and sending Christ to save us from our sins, in the provisions and the blessings that He brings to us every day, He is our loving Father. And that love is shown to us in many, many ways, even in the discipline that He shows us and so forth, but always this incredible love, always this focus of the gospel sense of His desiring that we be His children and live in a wondrous, God-pleasing relationship with Him. What I don't see in a lot of literature is pointing at that and saying, there's the definition of what a father is. Now let's figure out what that means in our lives.
Now, there are two ways you could go on that, it seems. To begin with God as our Father through our Lord Jesus Christ, one might say, hey, yeah, there's a great place to begin, and God would be then what the moral exemplar or example for the father to follow. I'm not going to get very far down that road, Pastor Shaddy, because I fall so far short of God's perfect love, His perfect protection, His perfect concern for His children. When I father my kids, the example is one that leaves me, well, pretty much condemned at every turn.
Yeah, me too. This is the beauty of the gospel, the beauty of what the Holy Spirit brings to us in the gospel and calls us to in the gospel, which is to then live in the righteousness not which comes from us, but which we have received from Christ. If I am at all like my Heavenly Father, it is because of the grace of God alive in me. But frankly, the key to whether or not I am like God to my children stems from my understanding of how I become a Christian, what grace I receive in order to be who I am, and then the ability, by the Holy Spirit's power, to share that love and that grace and that mercy, that provision, that compassion with my children, to desire to show my Heavenly Father to my children, not to say to my kids, okay, here's the expectations that I have for you, and you're going to live up to it because I said so, but to say to my kids, you know, I have a Heavenly Father, and I know about Him, and I know how wonderful He is. And by the grace of God, I want to show Him to you by the love I show. So, and I'll always fail, and I'll always need God's forgiveness, and I'll always need my kids' forgiveness.
Now, you've mentioned here forgiveness, and I guess I wonder, can I... I certainly can't show my kids my Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, by somehow modeling him, because my model will be such a terrible distortion and fall so far short. Can I show my children, my wife, our Heavenly Father by being that sinner who needs the forgiveness provided for by that Heavenly Father in Jesus Christ? Not by sinning, but by confessing my sin.
Oh, sure. We as God's people, as fathers, can say to our children, there's the ideal, my Father in heaven. When you see him in me, it's because of him. When you don't see him in me, when you see the sinner, that's me, the sinner. That's the guy who needs to come to God and to you and to daily say, I forgive you. But just as God has forgiven me my sins, I have the privilege of establishing my home in that same forgiveness, that I promise to show you the same love and grace and compassion and care that God has shown to me. That's my response of faith to God, is to look at God and to say, not to say, oh, you know, here's this impossible model, but here is this benevolent, loving, forgiving God who has given me the privilege to confess my faith in him by the way I love and forgive my family.
How does Scripture describe the Christian father? There's stuff in there, I know, especially in the New Testament, and one might even draw upon example from the narratives of the Old Testament. What is the basic picture given of the relationship of father to children in Old and New Testaments?
Interestingly enough, the most discussed aspect of fatherhood in the Scriptures is teaching. To teach the children the faith. And I'll have to be honest, it is probably in fatherhood in recent times the most ignored. Generally, today, you know, a father will say, well, you know, I'm supposed to bring home the bacon. So I go to work and I provide what my family needs, and I come home and I say, okay, here it is now. The other stuff is mom's, or the other stuff is the kids, or whatever the case may be. And there tends to have been over the years an abdicating by fathers of this incredible spiritual responsibility to teach God's word to their children. Now, Luther emphasizes this at the beginning of the Catechism when he says, as the head of the household should teach it to the other members of his family, that my primary responsibility as a father is to teach God's word to my children, not to abdicate that responsibility to my pastor or my Sunday school teacher, although I certainly am going to enlist their assistance.
Or to my wife?
Or to my wife, and enlist her assistance. But this is a wonderful gift that God has given to fathers, to teach their children. And yes, to do the other things, to provide and to create an atmosphere in which they can grow and so forth. But the number one thing the Scripture says is that dad is the teacher of God's word.
Is that another coming back to God as our Heavenly Father, is that yet another way by which this merciful Father shows himself to our wife, our wives and our children through the teaching of his word?
No question. No question. Not only in terms of the word of God which comes forth, but in terms of also then our children and our wives coming to an understanding that, you know, this guy in our house is trying, as a sinner, to show me our Heavenly Father. And this is what our Heavenly Father does. The Word of God has come forth from God for the very purpose of filling our lives. And we come to a greater understanding of God when the head of the household does that thing which is essential to God's relationship to us, which is to continually bring us his word that our lives may be filled with his grace.
I'm thinking about the dad out there who's on his way home from work right now, and he is sitting in that car having put in a long day's work. He's, you know, busted his hump not only today but yesterday, and he hadn't even got to Wednesday yet. And he's thinking, look, Pastor, I know you mean well, but I'm tired, and you're telling me when I get home I got to be a teacher, too? How would you respond to that?
the first thing I would say is, by all means, the first thing you do when you get home is take a few minutes or a half an hour or whatever the case may be and allow what has happened to you today to slip out of your soul. You know, one of the things I think that has been a problem over the years is that, you know, Dad is the provider and he comes home and maybe Mom has a job, maybe she doesn't, and she is home and the kids get home about a little before Dad, and Dad walks in the door and everybody just barrages Dad. Give the guy a few minutes to let some of the day seep out of his pores, a little time of refreshment. And then, as a dad, look for simple opportunities to teach the Word of God to your children. You know, to be honest, the biggest challenge in this is not knowing how. And we in the church have failed to teach our husbands and fathers how to teach the faith to their children. And I would not recommend that, you know, Dad decide he's going to teach the entire content of Scripture to the kids tonight. A little devotion. You know, maybe a little visit with God or something, you know, the portals of prayer, whatever is available. And I think as the church, we need to make more of these things available to find ways to help Dad in a small, compact way to sit down with his family, enjoy a time of worship. And that doesn't have to be a long time, but enjoy a time of worship when they're gathered together and have the center of that worship be a devotion in God's Word for the benefit of the whole family.
I'd like to talk a little bit about, and this is going to need some explanation on your part, Pastor Shaddy. I'm sure you're up to it. The role of fatherhood in the context of Scripture's teaching on vocation. And here's the background to this whole concern of mine. The role of father, because it's been so ill-defined or undefined, that definition vacuum has sucked in a lot of things that don't belong to fathers. Some fathers believe, even reading Christian literature sometimes, that they need to be buddies with their kids, or that their primary role is to be keeping law and order in the house, or that there's some tension between being a good father and a good provider. All of these things are seem to be mixed up, but it would seem to me they can gain some clarity if we understand what Scripture teaches about vocation and then the vocation of being a father. What is a vocation according to Scripture?
A vocation is that which God has given you, has called you to in your life. Luther was very strong on the theology of vocation, and that he said, you know, look at the things in your life, and especially, you know, he talked about the head of the households and things like that. That this is not just an aspect of your life, this is your calling from God. This is what God intends for you to do. You know, there's so many people today who have no purpose in life because they really don't know why they're here. That shouldn't be a problem for Christians. Christians were placed here by God, who created us in the womb of our mothers, who recreated us through the redemption we've received in Jesus Christ, and the purpose is that we understand that we do have a calling. And that, you know, to be very honest, if you are a Christian man who happens to have a Christian family, your highest calling is that of a father. And yes, you will be a provider. But that's an aspect of your vocation that God has called you to. It's not the end all. It is a means by which you fulfill that which God has called you to do. So we have a calling in life, all of us, a vocation that says, this is who I am, just as surely as God is Father. So I am Father to my children.
Here's a little scenario used to take place when I was a parish pastor in the Wilkin House on a regular basis. I kept an office at home. The parish was a little bit away, so it was easier to work out of the house, down in the basement, a separate little office room. So I would be out doing my calls, doing my pastor things. I would come home. My wife would greet me at the door. Right by the door were the steps down to the basement where my office was. Very often she would meet me at the door and say, okay, I know you're here, but are you home? I'm sure you've experienced that too.
Oh, yeah.
A little conflict between the guy who has a responsibility to take care of the sheep at Holy Cross Sugarloaf and the guy who also has the responsibility to take care of the sheep at home. How do you sort this out?
Well, life is full of balancing. You know, like yourself, I have been a parish pastor for 19 years, and all of those 19 years I have had children. Very frankly, the way that I have tried to do it over the years is to say to myself, if there has been time that I have been pulled away from the family, and those times for free pastors happen all the time, then I have to compensate in some way by giving a little more time or a little more attention at a time when I'm able to do that. Because, yeah, and also, I have to remember when I come home that those things which weigh heavily on my mind and so forth are not my family's problems, they're mine. Are not my family's responsibilities, they're mine. So I need to find some way to, you know, as I said, the dad coming home after a busy day, find some way to clear my head and say, okay, I'm home, I'm dad, I love these people, now let's be about this business. You know, it's a give and take.
The issue of discipline is one that we can't get through the first half hour here without at least touching upon this, and maybe we'll return to it again later in the conversation. But the father's role, you said teacher, according to God's picture in Scripture, he is first and foremost primarily teacher to his children, teacher of the faith. He is also mentioned on several occasions in Scripture as the one who through whom God disciplines. Tell us about that.
Well, the word discipline means to teach. It is a means of teaching. I recall back in the 80s, there was this fellow Joe Clark out in New Jersey with the bullhorn and the baseball bat who locked the kids in the school. And they asked him, well, why did you do this? Why did, you know, why all these seemingly extreme measures? He said, I wanted to create an environment in which my children can learn. I was very impressed by that. You know, I don't walk around my house with a bullhorn and a baseball bat, and neither do I padlock the doors. But fathers specifically, and parents in general, need to create an environment in which their children can learn and grow. That environment includes and has as a necessary feature boundaries. God provides them for us. He basically says, you know, in the Ten Commandments, he basically says, look, I'm going to put this umbrella over you. You step outside, out from underneath the umbrella, you're going to get wet. You're going to have a problem. That's, you know, the guide aspect, the third use of the law. Here is the information that you need in order to recognize that inside of this kind of behavior, there is generally things go fairly well, and outside of this behavior, you're going to have consequences called sin, and you are going to have to face the fact that you have created a situation by your sin that isn't any good. You know, dads have to teach that to their children as well. Here is the will of God, and here are the boundaries that I've set for you because God has given me the privilege to be your father, and I'm setting these because I love you, and I want to create an environment in which you can grow and learn. If you step outside of those boundaries, there will be consequences. And I want you to know that. And, you know, very honestly, early in our children's life, the stepping outside of those boundaries is relatively minor things, and the consequences are relatively minor. But it's teaching them a lesson. It's teaching them that there is such a thing as an environment known as the will of God. And there are consequences to being outside of that will. And there is an opportunity to grow and to learn within the confines of those boundaries. This is an act of love. You know, when I was growing up, there was a movement that basically said, well, don't ever tell your children no, because you're going to hurt their self-esteem, or you're going to, you know, in some way stifle their creativity and so forth and so on. And, you know, as I say to couples coming in for premarital counseling, when we talk about children, there's nothing creative about burning down the house. There's nothing creative about, you know, throwing your toys through the front window. These are behaviors that have consequences, and they have to have consequences. We need to teach our children that which is acceptable to God and therefore acceptable to us, because this is His good and gracious will. This is the place that we live. This is the place that we dwell in peace while we're here on earth.
It seems to have an aspect not only of teaching, as you said, and of exercising this kind of love, but also a protective function for the kids as well. More often than not, see, I'm one of these kind of guys, Mr. Safety. But more often than not, that is what's at work in my mind when a situation of discipline arises with the kids. As father, it is, you know, kind of this is for your own good. I'm trying to protect you.
Absolutely. You know, I think one of the things that we have not really discussed with men is this whole aspect of what Jesus did for us on the cross, where He basically placed Himself between the devil, the world, our flesh, and all of the fury of the wrath of God. He stood between us and all of that to protect us and defend us, and took upon Himself that which rightly belonged to us. This is part of our vocation as husbands and fathers in desiring to show Christ to our families, is this aspect of saying, I promise by the grace of Christ to defend you, to stand in defense of you, and to keep you safe until the day when, by the grace of God, I will hand you over to His loving care as you begin to take these responsibilities to yourself. You know, and I've tried to communicate this to my kids, to say, you know, I try not to say to my kids, do this because I said so. I try to say to them, look, God has given me a responsibility and a privilege to be your dad. And one of the aspects of being your dad is that when I see something which is a threat to you, I stand between you and that, because I love you.
Let's pick this up on the other side of the break. Pastor David Shaddy is our guest. We're talking about fatherhood in this hour. When we come back, 25 more minutes with Pastor Shaddy, pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Indianapolis. He's also one among two pastors who conduct seminars across the nation titled The Gospel and the Christian Family. Our phone numbers, if you'd like to join us, are 505-7850. Or 1-800-730-2727. Stay with us.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.
Wouldn't it be great if we went through life without any problems? Well, that's just not the way things are. Life can get tough, but we can face whatever comes along with peace and confidence, because there is reason for hope. We're your neighbors, the people of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we'd like you to know that with Christ, there's plenty of hope to go around.
A message from your friends at Issues Etc.
Makili Mimembi, what on earth is it?
Answers with Ken Ham.
one of the lecturers at the popular Answers in Genesis conferences. Well, Ken, Makili Mimembe is the name of a dinosaur that may be alive today, right?
Well, yes, and according to eyewitness accounts from natives living in the Congo and Central Africa, there seems to be a distinct possibility that a living dinosaur, which they call Makili Mimembe, is roaming about in their jungles. Also, natives in the rainforests of Brazil have reported seeing a red-haired creature that some scientists now believe could be a ground sloth. But these sloths supposedly became extinct at least 10,000 years ago. You know, there are so many such reports from around the world that a special organization has been created to look for these creatures to see if they're still alive. And as they find animals that were supposed to have become extinct thousands or even millions of years ago, the more embarrassing it is to evolution. But creationists, of course, they have no problems at all when such creatures are found. After all the land animals were made beside Adam and Eve, and the sea creatures and birds were made the day before. So what is Makili Mimembe? Well, the answer is it could be a living dinosaur, which of course fits with what the Bible says in the book of Genesis, because God made land animals, including dinosaurs, on day six.
Well, what does the Bible have to say about dinosaurs? Well, it's much more than you'd imagine. For Ken Ham's insights, log on to our radio website, AnswersRadio.com. You can read his free booklet on dinosaurs at AnswersRadio.com.
AM 850 KFUO weather. The National Weather Service has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for St. Louis, for the county, and also St. Louis City. That began at 5:27 and will end in an hour. Also, St. Charles County is under a thunderstorm warning. The majority of the listening area, including Lincoln, Madison, Illinois, Franklin County, Missouri, Jefferson County, Missouri, Monroe County, Illinois, St. Clair, Illinois, are all under a National Weather Service thunderstorm watch. In traffic southbound 270, there's a stalled car. That vehicle is blocking the center lane, heavy from Manchester out to Doherty Ferry. Northbound 55 before Imperial Main, there's an accident there. And the normal volume of traffic heading towards the Poplar Street Bridge.
Most young girls and their families think teenage pregnancy is someone else's problem until it happens to them. On the next Focus on the Family, Dr. James Dobson talks with the father of a 14-year-old who found herself facing the birth of a baby. It's an unforgettable story of loss and gain. Next time on Focus on the Family.
Weekdays at 9:30 on AM 850 KFUO.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Father's Day. Pastor David Shaddy is our guest. 25 minutes left in that conversation. Not too many days left until we get to Father's Day itself, as we talk about fathers during this hour. And, you know, Dad faces some of the toughest challenges to his Christian faith, to his ethics, to being a Christian in the workplace. Business ethics sometimes are a rule book very different from Christian ethics. It shouldn't be this way, but it is. That's why we're offering as our Issues Etc. book of the month for June a book called Christian Ethics in the Workplace. It's written by a theologian, a businessman, and a business school professor. Christian Ethics in the Workplace is the name of the book. You can order by calling Concordia Publishing House tomorrow during regular business hours. Their number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for premium shipping if you plan to give Christian Ethics in the Workplace as a Father's Day gift. Then it will get to you in time, 1-800-325-3040, or go to one of the CPH bookstores, either here on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton or at 3558 South Jefferson, the main location here in St. Louis, 3558 South Jefferson. You can also order this book online at our website, issuesetc.org. The What's New link will take you to information on the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Christian Ethics in the Workplace. Our phone numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Because some of the things we're discussing here are of kind of the sensitive, intimate, family nature. If you wish to call in anonymously, you can do so as well, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We were talking before the break about part of the father's relationship being discipline, and I want to tie this together with something we started out with, Pastor Shaddy, and that is, when I discipline my children, is it important that they know that I am a sinner who is prone to commit the same sins that they commit, with the same inclinations, and that I approach them, even with the hand of discipline, as one sinner approaching another?
Absolutely. One of the things I think our children need to understand is that our fatherhood comes directly from God having been a father to us. And that's what he does. He disciplines me. He forgives my sins. And so as I come as a father, I have to honestly admit to my children, I am simply passing on to you what God has done for me. God has stopped me in doing things that I wanted to do. God has told me when I was doing wrong. God has called me to say I'm sorry, and God has forgiven me my sins. And so I'm just simply passing on to you what I have received from him. I'm one sinner, and I have to admit to my children that sometimes in disciplining them, I might be wrong. And when I'm wrong, then I have to ask their forgiveness and God's forgiveness. But, we're just in all of the things that we discussed in the series a year ago, we talked so much about reflecting God to the people that God has placed in our life, reflecting Jesus Christ to our wives in the love that we show for them, reflecting God the Father to our children. And our children need to know that what I am doing as a father is simply that which I have already received from God.
So would it be a breach of fatherly protocol according to Holy Scripture for the father to confess that he has sinned to his children, not only in a general sense, hey kids, you need to know I'm a sinner, but to say, children, I have sinned against you. Please forgive me.
I think it's very important. Because, children are very smart. They will recognize if you are holding them to a standard that you are not holding yourself to. And yes, they need to see that Dad does these same things that we do, and Dad receives the same forgiveness from God that he's now passing on to us. Dad receives the same love and mercy and grace and righteousness from God that he's now passing on to us as God's instrument in this family. I think it's very important when we have screwed up as dads that we go to our children and we say, I sinned, and I'm sorry, and I ask your forgiveness, just as I will freely forgive you in the things that you do that are wrong. Oh, absolutely.
One more thing on the aspect of discipline, and that is we must mention the scripture passage where the apostle says, children do not provoke, or fathers do not provoke your children to anger. Sometimes it's translated, don't exasperate or wear out your children. What's meant there?
I think there is a wonderful example of how we as fathers need to be like our Heavenly Father. And, our Heavenly Father does not stand over us and nag us and say, do this, do this, do this. What's the matter with you? Why are you such a crummy kid? Why do you sin every day? Why do you, why do you, why do you? But our God balances through the law and the gospel, telling us when we have sinned and also affirming his love for us. And I think that, again, one of the misconceptions, because we tend to be a very law-oriented people, even within Christianity, one of the misconceptions is that Dad's the big cheese, stand up, be the tough guy, and so forth, and there are times when that needs to be the case. But if we are to truly reflect our Heavenly Father, then we need to recognize the positive contribution that we need to make to our children, that we need to not frustrate our children by hounding them all the time, but by being a positive gospel influence in their life, of demonstrating to them the love of Christ, so that they are then able to demonstrate it to others. You know, again, we talk about teaching our children. The number one thing, the number one way we teach our children is by what they see us do. I've made it, for example, a practice in my house that every time I leave the house, I kiss my wife. I do that for two reasons. Number one, I love my wife. Number two, I want my children to know that I love my wife, and I want my children to know that it's a good thing, a positive thing, to love my wife. They need to see that. They need to see the positive about God through us.
So what's the relationship between me as a father and that calling, that vocation, and me as husband to my wife?
Well, they're very difficult to separate, really, when you think about it, because by our being married by God to one another, our home is established. It is from that, you know, the expression of our love for one another and the unity that God has given us in Christ, that children are born. They are the greatest imaginable expression of our unity as husband and wife. So it's very important that we understand that being a husband to my wife and being a father to my children are simply two aspects of showing, as the head of the household, showing the God that I worship to the people that God has placed in my life. In the case of my wife, you know, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. In case of my children, to reflect our Heavenly Father to my kids. That this is two faces of the same thing. A reflection of the wondrous grace that I have received from the God who I now desire in thanksgiving to reflect and to confess by the way I love my wife, by the way I love my kids.
So we really cannot, we could not compartmentalize the two things, whereas one could say, kind of in an extreme scenario, well, you know, I'm a great father, I'm a lousy husband.
Yeah.
Or I'm a lousy father, but a pretty good husband.
Yeah, I really don't see how. You know, let's face it, most of us in our families, unless we happen to live in incredibly huge homes and we're all a bunch of independent people, we spend a lot of time in the same room. You know, when I'm in the kitchen helping Sherry get things ready for supper and the kids are in there setting the table, I am husband and father simultaneously. I can't, you know, I can't stop and say, okay, kids, I'm ignoring you now. I'm going to be a husband and daddy. Nah, that's... they're an extension of the same thing because they come from the same principle, the principle being the covenant relationship God has made with us as our loving Savior, the bridegroom of the church, the covenant relationship God has made with us as the loving Father who has sent His Son to redeem us and to make us His own. I am, in both of those responsibilities, reflecting the same love from the same God, just in a somewhat different fashion to these different people that God has placed in my life. So, you know, I really don't see, since the same principles apply in terms of the kind of love shown, I really don't see a separation there. I really don't see any way how we can justifiably say, okay, yeah, I'm hanging it pretty well on this end, but I'm flopping on this end. It's two sides of the same coin.
Now, you talk about, now this is in the context of general parenting, but if we could focus upon fathering, if you will, and turn it into a verb, you talk about parenting for the sake of the children. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, when I counsel people who are about to be married, I like to talk to them about children, and I tell them, have children for the sake of your children. And by that I mean, you know, you hear so many people say, I want to have a child because, and then they tell you all of their needs to have this child. And I caution people. I said, don't have children for your sake, because if you have them for your sake, you're going to find out pretty quick that they're very inconvenient. They do all kinds of things that you don't want them to do. And especially when they're very small, there's nothing they can do about it. You're the one who has to clean it up. So I constantly am encouraging people to desire to have children because they want to love those kids, because they want to pass on the love that our Heavenly Father has given us in Jesus Christ to these precious people that God has blessed us with in our home. That the purpose of having children is not to fulfill some inner yearning in me, but to take what God has given me in His grace and His love and His mercy and to give that to these wonderful people that God has given me. You know, years ago I had a member come to me and say, "Pastor, you know, we're a young couple. We're considering not having children at all." And I said, "Well, why is that?" And, "Well, you know, this is such a terrible world. It's such a terrible place to live, and I just don't know that I want to be unfair to these children by bringing them into this terrible world." And I said, "Hey, you know, you're not going to get any argument from me that this sinful world is a dastardly place. But it's not so with you. You have the grace of God. You have the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You have the love of your Heavenly Father. You have all of these things coming into your life, and you have the privilege to share that with your children. The privilege that we have as Christians is to bring children not into the sinful world, and granted it is one, but to bring children through baptism and the continual reinforcement of the Word and later on the sacrament into the kingdom of grace by the grace of God. And that's a privilege and a wonder that God has given us."
We think around Mother's Day about women, wives, who would love to be mothers but aren't, and how that can be a painful day for these mothers who would be mothers. At the same time, for every would-be mother, there's a would-be father as well. And I'm wondering, what does this conversation about fatherhood have to say to a husband who has no children and who may not be able to have children, who will not be himself a father?
I would strongly urge those men to look for opportunities to be a blessing to children in their lives, whoever those children may be. They still, whether they are a godparent or whether they are an uncle or whether they are, you know, whatever the relationship that they have, whether they are simply that guy who the little kids see in church every Sunday, whatever the case may be, they have the privilege and the opportunity presented to them by God in various means to be a positive influence and to show forth the love of God to those children, whether they happen to be their children living in their home or not. And I think, you know, we need to think about that in general as men, the privilege that we have, not only in our own homes, but, you know, I as a pastor have an incredible privilege here in my parish to be a positive influence on the children of my parish. And, you know, I dearly love kids, and we have a lot of very little kids in our church right now, and it's just such a joy to me to be able to sit down and to be with those kids and to share the gospel with them. And, you know, and in some cases they're my own children who live in my house, but in most cases they're not. I think that we as men need to look at the opportunities that God gives us to be a blessing and to show forth His love and His mercy to children, whoever those children may be.
Everybody has a father, be he living or deceased. Everybody has had some experience, positive or negative, with that father. Is that another angle from which to approach this whole subject? Even if I will never be a father myself, for that man who won't be, I did have a father, or I do have a father?
Sure. We need to look at that as, insofar as it has been a blessing to us, as a blessing from God. We also need to look at that we all continually have a Father, and that's our Father in Heaven. That if we're going to celebrate Father's Day on Sunday, the first person that gets praise is God, because He is Father. And it is primarily His day. It is our day in the sense that He has given us the grace to share His love and His mercy and all the blessings that He gives us with the people that He's placed in our life. But it's first and foremost his day, a day of thanksgiving to him for the blessings that have come down from him, and particularly the blessings that have come down from him through our fathers.
It was we've talked with an author of a book called Faith of the Fatherless. He has put forth a series of case studies of famous atheists. And his thesis is that some of the most famous and notorious atheists known to history have been people who had either a terrible or a non-existent relationship with their father. And he seems to find some connection there. Does that surprise you?
Not at all. You know, the emphasis that I have in giving the seminars and am now in the process even of writing a book on marriage, that emphasis has been, look at God to establish who you are as a man. That Jesus Christ defines who you are as a husband. That God, our Heavenly Father, defines who you are as an earthly father. If the earthly father has failed, he has not only failed in terms of his responsibilities and in terms of the things that it was necessary for him to contribute to that young man's life or that young lady's life, he has also failed to reveal God to those children. And that's the thing that I think we need to keep in mind, that we're confessing our faith as we live in fathers. You know, every week we Lutherans recite the creed. And yet, in a sense, when we are in our homes, and in life in general, particularly when we're in our homes as husbands and fathers, we are a living creed. We are continually saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty. By the way, I am a father. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. By the way, I am a husband to my wife. And if they don't see that, and if they don't understand that this is my attempt, feeble as it may be, to reflect what I believe, the God I know, then not only are they missing out on me being the husband or the father I need to be, they're missing out on that wondrous revelation of God.
Isn't that really the essence, as we come to the end of this conversation, the essence of something that we could call uniquely Christian fatherhood as opposed to, you know, any other kind of fatherhood? Christian fatherhood as being intimately connected with the confession of the Christian faith?
Yeah. I'm not aware that anybody else calls God Father. In fact, I'm quite sure they don't. We understand God as Father, not in comparing Him to us, but in comparing ourselves to Him. That we go to Him to find out what a father is. And when we see God the Father and what He does to make us His children, to preserve us as His children, to sustain us, to defend us, and all the other things that we talk about in the first article of the Creed. When we see all that, then we turn around, and here before us is our children. And by the way we approach our fatherhood, it is in essence saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Him so much that I want to reflect Him, to show Him to my children by the love that I show them.
What is the best piece of counsel that you could give to fathers listening to us?
Be in the Word. Gather around the Word in your worship. Gather around the Word in Bible class, that you may climb into that the Holy Scriptures, that literally climb into it and look around and familiarize yourself with it, and particularly as a father, come to understand that wondrous God who has made you and who, though you ran away, has recreated you through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. And then look for opportunities to show Him to your children.
With only 2 minutes before we go, one day this will all be clear. One day, and you've said this before when we've talked about marriage in general and about fathers in particular, that God has given us these things, marriage, family, motherhood, fatherhood, by way of revealing himself in everyday life as object lessons for us to understand himself and his revelation of himself in Jesus Christ. One day we will actually stand raised from the dead before our Heavenly Father. What will we see? What do we know now that we will see of that Father on that day that he has been showing us all throughout our lives as fathers and children?
We will see the one who has loved us so much, who created us because he wanted someone to love, and who in creating us to love has loved us so much that he would do anything, even the sacrifice of his only begotten Son, that he might adopt us to himself and make us his heirs. We will see the one whose sole purpose is to love us.
Pastor David Shaddy, thank you very much for being our guest on Issues, Etc.
Thank you, and God bless.
Pastor David Shaddy is pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Indianapolis. He and a fellow pastor conduct seminars titled The Gospel and the Christian Family. We've been talking about fatherhood. By the way, tomorrow on the program, Dr. Leon Pottles, author of the book The Church Impotent, will join us. We'll talk about the role of fathers in church going. I mean, it's no secret that when you look out into the pews, you see fewer and fewer fathers, more and more mothers, fewer and fewer men and boys, more and more women and girls. We'll talk about that tomorrow on the program. That is why God has given us this thing we call fatherhood, not just a biological relationship, but a relationship that is intended at its very heart through the role of teaching, through the role of discipline, through the role of forgiving love, through the role of confessing one's sin to wife and children and seeking their forgiveness in Christ, to reveal himself. But he has revealed himself most clearly in his Son, Jesus Christ. It is all there to display Christ to my wife, to my children, to the world around me. It is there so that Christ might be confessed. Even inside the home, Christ might be confessed. The one who came at his Father's will as the one and only begotten Son and gave his life so that God might not have but one son, but many children purchased with the blood of his one son for all eternity. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.